I'll be talking today about a passage from Jonathan Franzen's The Corrections that began on page 321 and ran until about page 323. A lot of what I see within this passage has to do with individuals trying to make themselves individuals while also acknowledging and claiming that they all have the same problem. When you consider the doctor's lines about how nobody is in perfect mental health, it's saying that we're all the same and we're all together in having this issue. And yet at the same time, he lists off all of these different medicines that denote that you're an individual, saying, oh, I'm taking this because I'm going on a cruiser versus this because I'm working or this because I'm a student. Giving names to all these different drugs, which may or may not be the same, is very much pretending to be an individual and not have the same problem that everybody else does. Well, they actually do. At the center of this is the obvious irony of the mother and son taking the same drug for different reasons. The son, because he's dealing with the guilt of having sex with his student, and so she gets him the Mexican A. And in that case, I feel like the Mexican there is what's enunciated. It makes it seem more like a dangerous drug, more like something the hip younger crowd does. Whereas with the mother, she receives the Aslan. And in that case, it's this drawing from this book, but it's been transferred into mythology and given some backup of this great line in the past that was benign. And yet, in truth, going back to the books, he wasn't as benign. He had ferocity and was dangerous. And yet this gets whitewashed and turned into something somewhat mystical and semi-religious. While at the same time, you're dealing with religion and science at the end of the passage, with him spouting all these different things and claiming, you know, this medicine and the science and shame and mixing these terms that are both scientific and both not. And with her understanding of her church, and this pastor, this reverend who doesn't actually have a lot of power, partly because he doesn't go back to the old text. He doesn't rely on the scariness of religion. It's all just soothing. He tells jokes. He reads cartoons from the New Yorker. There's no fear. There's no threat. It's all very safe and just something to do. But because of that, there's no place to put grounding and no place to put belief within it. Whereas this drug, which isn't fully understood, can have a sort of belief, and you can believe in it because you don't fully understand it. Finally, what comes through to me is also how desperate Enid is to make a connection with someone, in that she'll listen to this man and take drugs from him, even when he can't even be bothered to remember her name, which she notices, but lets go eventually because what he says does promise hope. And we've seen this so many times before in the book, in terms of when Gary and he goes to the conference on Axon, and just these glossy presentations that are pulling people in and promising this connection, promising kind of camaraderie. We saw it when Chip was teaching, and then Melissa initially just wants to be given attention and wants to have this bond with the professor. And it just over and over again, we see how this happens, and we see that none of them work. And we see a desperate trying to connect and make something work, but it can't. And yet, you get the feeling that the family, if they had all just kind of recognized within themselves what they all share, then that camaraderie could be achieved. But as it is now, it's too fractured and too fragmented. And so you just look other places and try to make yourself into a different individual than your parents or your brothers or your sisters, and that way you tell yourself, no, we're too far apart, what do we have in common? And yet, clearly through all these scenes that mirror each other, we're meant to see that they are all in the same place, and it's not as special as we think.